Don't just sit there. Come on and sing.
The late Mitch Miller understood that sitting was bad for you. Well, here we go. It's no secret we all spend a lot of time sitting down. Even though we're evolved as hunter-gatherers, and maybe the rest position, you know, 5,000 years ago was more likely to be a squat than a sit. We sit a lot these days.
By including gatherers, and you're including women in this too.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
Oh, okay,
humans,
fine.
Yes,
yeah,
human
okay,
beings.
Cool.
But joining us to talk about how sitting might actually contribute to problems in health, including widening waists and diminishing metabolism, and even like a diminishing quality of our ability to pump blood through our bodies. We've got Tatiana Warren, who's a PhD candidate in exercise science at the University of South Carolina. She joins us from South Carolina. Good morning, Tatiana. Tatiana, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Are you sitting down?
No.
Oh, jeez. As a matter of disclosure, I have no choice.
I'm moving around.
David McFadden also joins us. He's the chief curator at the Museum of Arts and Design here in New York. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So, Tatiana, the science first. Human beings are not evolved to sit as much as we sit. That seems to be the scientific proposition here. First of all, is that true? And second of all, what does the research show in terms of health effects of sitting as long as we do at our desks, et cetera?
Well, the research shows that we spend a significant portion of our day, or our waking hours, sitting. That doesn't even include the hours that we spend at night sleeping, 8 hours. You know, we sit in our cars, we sit when we eat.
Some of us sit when we eat.
Yeah, some of us sit when we eat. We sit when we drive, and the average American sits nearly about 4 hours a day just watching TV. And when we think about those of us that have desk jobs, we spend, including myself, roughly 90% of the workday even sitting down.
For me, it's 100%, really, for the last 34 years. And, you know, I don't want to totally personalize this and, you know, hog the whole conversation. But, you know, for me, sitting is kind of the only way I get around. But David McFadden, sitting is a relatively new phenomenon for, you know, Americans finding rest exclusively in a chair. What's the history here?
Well, relatively new, 500 years ago, I would say, probably from the 1600s and 1500s and 1600s forward, chairs were more and more a part of domestic interiors. And by the 19th century, with the development of industry and factories and the modern office, sitting became much more prevalent for everyone at their jobs. So sitting has become commonplace. It is something we take for granted. It's a part of our daily life. But in terms of the history of the form itself, sitting was restricted in earlier days, such as in the classical world and through the Middle Ages, to people of authority. The word chair itself is etymologically linked to the word cathedra, meaning a seat of a bishop. So someone of authority that had the right to sit down.
So the kings would sit in chairs. Everybody else would just sort of lie on the floor or squat, right?
Well, people sat on benches or chests or other backless seats of some kind, but it was the back and the armrest that really made chairs a comfortable chair as we know it today.
Tatiana Warren, you know, my dad's job when I was growing up, long before I was in a wheelchair, it was designing chairs. He was an industrial designer. I mean, he still is to a certain extent. He's retired now.
Yes.
And he was always concerned about chairs restricting your circulation and making ergonomically correct chairs, but he never mentioned that the sitting itself had health problems. What do you make of ergonomic chairs? They're very popular.
Yes, they are very popular, and that's a great question. And I kind of want to also touch base on what you've been talking about, John. When we look at the medical benefits of assisted standing devices for people with disabilities, they can address the secondary complications created by prolonged wheelchair use.
So there's hope for me.
Yes, it
right.
helps to facilitate
Don't push
respiration.
It, John.
You can just send me your email, Tatiana. We'll talk after the show, okay? But as far as ergonomic seating is concerned for people without disabilities, is that a good idea, or does it actually amplify the problem that you're talking about here?
I don't think it amplifies the problem. I don't think it amplifies the problem. The issue is just the sitting too much throughout their day. And so when you are sitting, you definitely want to be, you know, comfortable and in a great position. But do we really need to sit more than 23 hours a week?
Well, I want to go back to David here in just a moment. But, I mean, just to be precise, the health issue is sitting lowers our metabolism and all the effects sort of come from that. Is that correct?
I'm not a health expert, but what I can say is that ergonomically speaking, there have been tremendous efforts to improve the posture, the circulation of the blood through intelligent design. But some of the efforts, like the 1980s kneeling chair, which was introduced as an alternative to sitting with a back and set of arms, didn't last. It was a fashionable phenomenon, but certainly has not hung around. It's like people today who sit at the office on a Pilates ball because it gives you this sort of core strength. I don't think it's going to catch on through the general population.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. I have three of those kneeling chairs because I had some lower back problems, and I use them all the time, everywhere but at the dining room table.
Lynn is so retro. I love her.
but I think the point you're making, David, is it not, is that there are more creative ways to sit.
Well, there are certainly, but as you always have to remember that generally we will choose what looks good over what is probably good for us.
Right.
And
some
of the kneeling chairs and Pilates balls do put the human body in a somewhat peculiar position compared to the general population.
But it's better for your body. Just the only other point I wanted to make, Tatiana, when I was teasing about not everybody sitting down when they eat, in our modern world, so many of us do eat standing up, and we're told that's bad for us. It's bad in terms of diet. It's bad in terms of nutrition. You eat too fast. You're almost saying it might be a good idea.
Well, I think one of the things
that David, hold on 1 second. Let's get Tatiana's response to that. Is it better to eat standing up, Tatiana?
I'm not sure. We will really have to speak to the experts on that, the nutritionists and registered dietitians on that. I'm not really familiar with that.
Well,
with
let's
that
just
research.
Just generally.
But I know it's better to stand.
When we stand, our metabolism increases, which increases a lot of body processes which contribute to health. Is that a fair assessment, Tatiana?
That is a fair assessment.
You know, I'm dying to ask you, David. You're probably the one guy in the world who can answer this question. Did somebody invent the chair? Is there like a Thomas Edison of our posteriors?
No, I don't think there was one single moment, but certainly as early as the classical world, you think back in the days of the Egyptians, one of the most famous objects in museum collections is the throne of King Tut.
Right.
That was clearly a symbolic chair and had all the elements of the modern chair. And interestingly enough, when we talk about the relationship of chair to the body, think about how we describe the chairs. They have feet, they have legs, they have seats, they have backs, and they have arms. It's a metaphor of ourselves.
Of course, King Tut's chair was for a dead person, right, Tatiana? So there you go.
Well,
yeah.
But wait a minute. There's lots of famous chairs in history. There's Greek chairs. In classical history, there are wonderful marble chairs. I mean, the chair was one of, like your dad's work. I mean, it was one of those things you could design, right, and create artistically.
Is there a takeaway health-wise, Tatiana, besides just stand up more?
Yes, there is a takeaway. Be more physically active, move around a little bit more, and sit a little less.
All right, that's what I'm going to do. I'm leaving the studio now, guys. All right, we'll see you later. I'm going to try to get a little exercise here. Tatiana Warren is PhD candidate in exercise science at the University of South Carolina. Good luck on that dissertation, Tatiana.
Thank you so much.
And David McFadden, chief curator at the Museum of Arts and Design. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you very much.
All right, I'm still sitting. As you all know, we spend a lot of time on our posteriors. How do you protect yourself from too many hours sitting? Tell us your take at 8778MYTAKE or post to our site, thetakeaway.org.
And coming up tomorrow, don't forget to check out this week's Movie Date podcast. Rafer Guzman, Kristen Meinzer, look at Zac Efron and Charlie St. Cloud and consider the long history of the teen heartthrob.
Go to our website and talk about the situation in Iraq. What do you think the drawdown and the U.S. invasion has achieved? You can weigh in on all the subjects on the program. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Lynn Scher, and this is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.